Grace and peace to you. Welcome to the podcast, One A Day, where we discuss some part of a chapter of Scripture each day. This is September 17th, Revelation chapter 20. Let's get to it. You know how when you drop something on the floor, it makes a noise, so everyone in the room knows exactly when it hit the floor? Let's imagine it was a baseball that you dropped on the kitchen floor. Never mind the obvious question of why you have a baseball in the kitchen to begin with. Your mom can ask that. Yes, you know when it hit the floor. But in truth, there was a bit of a bounce, and it hit the floor again, and again, and rolled a bit, and finally came to a stop. This chapter describes the drop. The bowls of wrath have been poured out. The beast and the false prophet have been thrown into the fire. The saints have appeared in heaven, and the multitudes have given praise. And now this chapter opens with Satan being thrown into the abyss and bound for 1,000 years to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore. What's more, John saw the souls of the martyrs who had been true to their testimony about Jesus. He says, they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, for they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Well, of course, death overtakes all people. Death means separation. Our bodies are destined to shut down one day, and because we are Adam's offspring, we will physically die. Then our spirits are separated from our bodies. But there is a second death, a spiritual death. Those who are outside of Christ will be hurt by the second death because their spirits will be separated from God forever. As John writes a few verses later, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. However, those who belong to Christ will not be hurt at all by the second death because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we will be with the Lord forever. John writes, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. All right, 1,000 years. Revelation is filled with symbolic numbers, and 1,000 is definitely a number used for completion. I would assume that in this case it refers to eternity. The ball has dropped. But what about that little bounce? John writes, after that, he must be set free for a short time. Elsewhere, he writes, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle and number there like the sand on the seashore. Seems like the way it was before all the judgment and punishments and victory of the Lamb. But this is only for a short time. You might say 42 months or 3.5 years. It's hardly worth counting it because the ball has already dropped. But if you were in the moment just before the battle, it might seem like all these who are going to fight against the Lamb might be successful. But just as the number 1,000 is symbolic for being nearly infinite, so John's use of a short time is hardly worth noting. Satan has gathered all these nations for battle. John writes, they marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, whom the city whom he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. That extended war that we expected turns out to be very brief indeed, because God has weapons of mass destruction, don't you know? And John writes, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. This time, we see the word forever. In fact, just in case it wasn't enough, he adds, and ever, not just 1,000 years. And this is when the end has truly arrived. John writes, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Now, of course, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what it means to be judged according to what they had done, as John writes. Most people I know, Christian or not, view themselves as basically a good person. They may not be perfect, but in their estimate, they do more good things than bad. And that is not the criteria God uses to determine a person's eternal fate. Here's how John describes the criteria for eternal life. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. The question is not, did you do more good things than bad things? God has this giant eternal scale so that if you net a positive score, you're in. No, the question is your name found written in the book of life? If not, you are thrown into the lake of fire along with God's other enemies. May you and I be faithful to the end, and may we survive the little bounces that come up in our lives and in history. Amen.